Scott, that's jwildfire.com. Final Days Report, episode 414. We're calling this VCast Trojan Trump, Trojan Doge, Trojan E-God. When you spell Doge backward, folks, you're watching a script. The first story I want to cover is the fall of the U.S. dollar. It appears all by design, my friends. Let's read. The stock market saw a historic $3 trillion drop, echoing the revised economic outlook prediction. Trump is blamed for the collapse, the fall guy for a larger plan. I personally think we're watching a script. The alleged plan involves dismantling the U.S. dollar's world reserve status to usher in a blockchain-based financial system. And this isn't too much of a stretch. We've covered The Economist magazine with Trump with a gas can, burning a dollar on the verge of throwing it on the U.S. dollar. And you need to think about The Economist magazine in 1988, where the U.S. dollar is being burnt for this global currency. And then there's GovCoins, right? The central bank digital currencies. Everything is tracked. Central bank digital currencies, we've talked about this often, really is a voucher. It's programmable. Had too much meat. You can't eat meat. That is their plan. Own nothing and like it. But this is the interesting point. This collapse enables the rise of a digital dollar linked biometrically to you, this beast system, this mark of the beast system. If you follow our ministry, we've been talking about a lot of these different moves. Now, I was a former economics minor, and from grad school, I really focused on statistics. And then I managed business units for Fortune 500 companies with the P&L, but I, by no means am I an economist. And I've been doing research on tariffs. It sounds like half the time tariffs work and bring back jobs and protect countries, but the other half of the time they destroy economies, my friends. I think Trump, his role is to destroy everything. I highly suggest you look at the podcast we did, Who Controls Trump? Early days of this ministry, we covered the dangers of artificial intelligence, and a lot of the news said, hey, watch out for this technology. We covered a couple Christian testimonials talking to artificial intelligence, how it appeared to be fallen angel technology, and that these entities self-identified as Nephilim. We've talked about how these quantum computers pierce through other dimensions. So the technology is absolutely wild, but their goal is AI is the new Tower of Babel. AI will connect you into this hive mind if you hook up to it with biodigital convergence. It's an abomination. But what I mentioned earlier, when this first came out, I said they're going to treat this as a god, and it's not from my wisdom. It's from a dream that I had. So I want to cover a bunch of articles, how they're positioning AI as this god, as the savior, but ultimately it's a trap. It's a military operation, Final Days Report 375, where it'll be omnipresent. Today, Lucifer's not omnipresent. He has demons that report up to him, but he wants to measure you under the skin. He wants to be like God. So my former state, Illinois, exploring speed cameras, AI to reduce speeding and crashes on Lakeshore Drive. So AI will send you tickets just for walking around. AI, if you have a bad conversation in your home, could actually dock you with a social credit score. That's where this whole police state is going, my friends. I'm going to cover a bunch of Elon Musk's tweets as well. If you follow our ministry, I think I've done four or five podcasts, Is Elon Musk the False Prophet? And he keeps giving receipts. But let's read his latest tweet that is disturbing. As I mentioned several years ago, it increasingly appears that humanity is a biological bootloader, that we humans are a biological bootloader for digital superintelligence. So I had to look up what a bootloader meant. A bootloader is a computer program that is responsible for booting a computer and booting an operating system. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I'm going to play a video from mainstream news that, for some reason, this gentleman on the left, this news anchor, is really trying to say that Elon Musk did not plan on linking Twitter with artificial intelligence. And he uses the word is Elon the Messiah? But he's really trying to defend that Elon wasn't smart enough to connect artificial intelligence to Twitter. Folks, it's all a script. We're dealing with actors. Without government contracts, Elon would not have businesses. Amazon, $600 million from the CIA, every package subsidized by your taxpayer dollars. That's fascism. That's an unfair advantage. Is it convenient? Sure, but it's a search. Amazon is a search engine. Not to mention Alexa. We've covered Amazon at length. But of course, Elon and his handlers had this as a strategy. When I was in business, we would have to do a 3 to 5 year strategic plan and present it in front of the board. So companies look forward. My understanding, too, doing business in Japan, they look 10, 20, 25, 50 years out with their strategic plans. And then it's rumored the Illuminati, the Satanists, go out hundreds of years. So, of course, this is a strategy. But I just thought this was fascinating. Let's roll it.
Elon Musk's XAI has now acquired X in an all-stock transaction, values XAI at $80 billion and X at $33 billion. In a post on X, Musk saying, quote, XAI and X's future are intertwined. Today, we officially take the step to combine the data models, compute distribution, and talent. This combination will unlock immense potential. Joining us right now is Rich Greenfield. He's the co-founder and partner at Lightshed Partners. Good morning to you.
Hi.
What do you make of this? What do you think really led to it?
Well, I mean, part of me, Andrew, sort of believes that this was sort of always the plan, that this was sort of, you know, everyone sort of wondered, like, why is Elon buying X? Like, why does he want to own Twitter? What is this really about? And I think as you look at sort of the AI arms race that is really unlike, you know, if you look at the capital that's being spent and how intense the competition is between OpenAI and Google and Anthropic and X and Meta, this is an arms race of epic proportions. Here's Elon. He buys Twitter, has this incredible source with hundreds of millions of people creating exclusive data, information that flows through X every day. Sure, Threads exists and Blue Sky exists.
Think of singularity. Think of this hive mind, especially when the Mark of the Beast gets implemented, feeding the beast. And Elon said with his own words, XAI could be our new god on a Jordan Peterson show. We've covered that within our series, Is Elon Musk the False Prophet, bringing fire down from heaven with his rockets. So many different proof points trying to turn X into this financial platform where you can't do anything unless you're tied to X.
Exists, right. But none of them have caught on.
Rich,
like, you're
Rich,
there,
I need
but
to
no
stop.
One's really
I, just, I need to stop you just so we're on the same page and we're looking at the same set of facts. And I'm a big fan of a lot of the things that Elon has done. But let's just go backwards and go through the history of this, because you're making this out as if this was the original plan. And I just would recite to you what actually happened in reality, which was he wanted to buy X. At the time, said it was because it was a town square that he wanted to create a sort of a full town square where all sides could speak, political sides. That was the original intent. And at the time also said that he thought it could become a financial services company. That's what he said publicly at that time. He then decided actually that he didn't even want Twitter at one point and actually went to court to try to avoid having to buy Twitter. So the idea that this was preordained from moment one is a little bit of a stretch, I think.
Preordained, interesting term.
Okay, then he gets it. The value drops precipitously, just what it was because of advertising and the like. And at the same time, he starts to build XAI and gives a percent of that business to the folks who owned X. In part, I think, not only because they were using the data, but as a make good for the fact that the value had dropped as much as it had. You can continue from there, but that's actually what happened.
I don't think you can dispute any of those facts. What I'm getting at, though, is a town square. Like, what was the ultimate purpose of building that town square? And we can debate whether it feels more biased one way or another. I'm sure everyone has their opinion of like what actually is happening on X. But
what do you mean? There's not a debate about it, Rich. Do you think there's a debate?
I mean, What I mean is there is still more of there is more dialogue that happens on X every day than what I see happening on Threads and on Blue Sky. Like
100%, but it's not, it hasn't turned out to be, look, and I say this just factually, it's not about having a political view. It hasn't turned out to be what I think the original intent was. You agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Okay. I just want to keep the facts. Because when we started this conversation, it sort of went into this other place as if you were suggesting this was sort of the plan from moment one and that he was the Messiah. And by the way, he may be the Messiah.
He may be the Messiah? Did you hear this, what they're hinting at? Personally, I think he could be the false prophet. We're just keeping the light on him.
It's saying it didn't happen that way.
I'm just saying we all were wondering, why did he want to buy it? Sure. Did he want to get out of it? And remember, we were on CNBC talking to you why he wasn't going to be able to abandon the deal, that there was no way out. But I don't think he actually wanted out as much as he wanted a much lower price. He realized he was massively overpaying, and that's Elon's mistake, and that's his problem. But the idea of having a global town square, having all of this information where, look, Andrew,
oh,
I know
I agree.
You're more-
I'm just saying that's a, Rich, all I'm suggesting is it was a pivot. I'm saying I don't believe, and I don't think you believe, maybe you do, that the original intent was an AI focused intent, that he was going to hoover up all this data, that was the reason he was purchasing it. And I don't believe if you go back at all within the first 12 months of the purchase before or after, that was part of any of the discussion.
We weren't even talking. I mean, OpenAI hadn't even broken onto the scene. We weren't talking about AI at that point.
That's my point.
However,
we played somebody from the military industrial complex that said the military has had artificial intelligence for many, many years. And then we even played a cartoon or a video game talking about it with their predictive programming. So I'm not buying that Elon didn't know anything about artificial intelligence. I'm just not buying it. This is a script. This is a Luciferian strategy for you to feed Twitter. And ultimately, with biodigital convergence, when the mark of the beast hooks you up to this hive mind, it'll allow AI to be all-knowing.
What is inside Elon's brain and what was really going on is something that we're never going to really know. What we do know, Andrew, is that going back to that original why Twitter, why X, was because it had incredibly unique information that couldn't be found anywhere else on real-time conversation all around the world and had failed to live up to its potential under prior management. That's the facts. And so whether he paid the right price or not, whether he realized he was going to shift this into AI or into some other thing, the idea was he had an incredible amount of content and real-time information that
100%.
Couldn't be found anywhere else.
Times as many employees to make sure you did nothing on the laptop or the Wuhan lab origin. So, you know, get rid of 90% of the employees and actually start putting every side of an issue on Twitter. So I would say Messiah, yes, at this point, whether he lost or not. But what did you say?
What I'm getting at, Andrew, and what I think is really
I say he might be the Messiah.
Be
I'm not saying he's okay. not. All I'm right. just saying that in the context of how this whole transaction came about and what the original origin story really is relative to the way Rich portrayed it from the beginning, I think is a little bit different. Having said that, I think he made the pivot and he's obviously been very successful making that pivot.
I'm not saying it was a Trojan horse to AI when he announced the original transaction.
Right.
It was a Trojan horse for something. It wasn't about buying an ad-supported Twitter. That was certainly not the goal. I don't even think he really likes advertising all that much. But the reality is there was a plan to use this data for something bigger. And I think what's really interesting about this transaction of going from 10% ownership to it being completely owned by XAI is now there's no debate, no fiduciary responsibility to sell this data to anybody else. This now can be proprietary to XAI.
Trojan horse for AI. Did you hear that? That's what I should have called this VCast. That was deep, and I missed that listening to the podcast. An AI Trojan horse blows me away. Now, we've said early days in this ministry, when AI first came out, that many of the stories were like, watch out for AI. AI is very, very demonic. And we covered Christian stories having conversations with AI that were tied to Nephilim. Remember the quantum computers, Gordy Rose talking about how quantum computers, or implied quantum computers, actually can communicate to other dimensions, summoning in these demons, and I'm paraphrasing. So this is fallen angel technology in our ministry's humble point of view. Chabad Lupovich said AI is the next Tower of Babel. How do we get it right this time? No, it's an abomination, my friends. And then you couple in this biodigital convergence. But we said early days, AI will be the problem solver. We could see right through it. And it's not from my wisdom, it's from some dreams that I had. But this is where it gets interesting. Artificial therapy breakthrough. This is from Psychology Today. New study reveals promising results. An AI therapy chatbot reduced depression, anxiety, and eating disorder symptoms. So this chatbot, from the articles I was reading, was there all the time for people in need. Cheaper, probably smarter, and felt like a real person. But let's read some of the stats. This is from Dartmouth. People diagnosed with depression experience a 51% average reduction in symptoms, leading to clinically significant improvements in mood and overall well-being, the researchers report. Participants with generalized anxiety reported an average reduction in symptoms of 31%, with many shifting from moderate to mild anxiety, or from mild anxiety to below the clinical threshold for diagnosis. So some great results. What's interesting, I have friends and family members that are psychologists, and I remember debating with a couple or just having some conversations in terms of their business model, basically saying if people came to Christ, lived righteously, prayed, fasted, if they had some demonic strongholds, get rid of them, right? Block any ways to open up doors to demonic presence, that their business would collapse if they leaned on Christ, if they put their treasures above. And what's interesting is a couple conversations actually admitted to me that when people found Christ, they no longer needed their services. I found that fascinating. Now, the other doorway with artificial intelligence, with this biodigital convergence, is health. That's a big one. That is an absolute big one. From Fortune magazine, will AI ever cure cancer? The multi-billion dollar race to bring the first AI discovered drug to market. Now, there was a book from the early 20th century from a doctor who basically said he never actually saw cancer in someone that did not take those old school pokes. So if you poked yourself, cancer would develop. And think about SV40, that scam, Cancer Created Inc. And now what we're seeing after the as the days of Noah devil juice, cancer is skyrocketing with myocarditis, everything that we've always covered in this ministry. And the excuses, the news excuses, are over the top. Menopause, 30 to 35 year old women are getting menopause symptoms. This is an abomination, but the big picture of all of it is this biodigital convergence to hook you up to artificial intelligence, this internet of bodies, where every blade of grass will be a node in this fake meta quantum computer world. But my point is they're trying to position AI as a god, and just some more proof points thereof. Teachers are using AI to grade essays, but some experts are raising ethical concerns. But then this caught my eye. Texas private schools' use of new AI tutor rockets student test scores to top 2% in the country. Now, it's a private school, so that needs to be factored in. But what was interesting with the story is AI tutors everyone at their own pace with their own learning system, only a couple hours a day, and then the rest of the school will be financial literacy, teamwork, public speaking, more life skills. So in a way, it's kind of a cool model. But I caution, I give caution to what we're being told here. Just one more example of how they're trying to make AI look like the superhero. And then here's where it gets into Elon Musk and the false prophet. I will periodically put thumbnails that you can search on SJ Wellfire, is Elon Musk the false prophet of the book of Revelation? Elon must restore blind person's sight with brain chip this year. And so we know the false prophet will have signs and wonders, right? This sounds like Jesus and cures. Everything is a counterfeit, my friends. During an event in Wisconsin, Musk announced that the animal trials for blind sight, a neural link chip that could potentially restore full sight to someone who is completely blind, had been successful and that the monkeys with the implant were healthy. Now, I always say this, it sounds great. I'm not blind. And if you can promise somebody that's blind that they can see with a chip in their head, but it's tied to artificial intelligence that has read-write capability, do they lose their free will? Do they blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Because we know AI hates God, hates Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, my friends, I wouldn't do it. Musk said that the animal trials on monkeys had shown great promise. We're hoping later this year to do our first device implant for a human, enabling someone who is completely blind to see. It will be low res at first, so I want to set expectations accordingly. All of this reminds me of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, this other article from Daily Mail caught my attention. Hospital machines can be turned into murder weapons with cyber attackers seizing control of pacemakers, insulin pumps, and painkiller drips, Swiss experts warn. What about hooking up to artificial intelligence for skills and languages? Could AI turn on you and turn you into a weapon system? Thought-provoking, isn't it? It's thought-provoking at a minimum. Let's continue with Elon and the false prophet, right? This Trojan horse, Doge, the Trojan horse. Just a couple things that I find alarming, because witches, warlocks need to tell you the truth so the karma in their wickedness doesn't fall back on their head. Tweet from Elon Musk that's old. See, this proves that I'm a time-traveling vampire alien. Even though I'm 5,000 years old, I think I look much younger. And it's done in humor and in jest. But is there some truth here? Because this is what disturbed me. Is Elon got in this, had a tweet with himself being a lamb. Right? So let's read from the book of Revelation about the false prophet. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. So Elon's posting himself as a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. We know Baphomet boy, I like to call him, with the picture profile that he had on Twitter, on X forever. So I wanted to dive a little deeper. What does Elon Musk mean? What does it mean? Folks, it's an oak tree. In Hebrew, Elon, it translates to oak tree. It specifically refers to strength and resilience associated with oak trees. The name has biblical roots as it was borne by one of the judges of Israel in the Old Testament. It's a name that symbolizes sturdiness and endurance. In the Old Testament, groves often refer to sacred trees or wooden areas associated with idol worship and pagan rituals. The Hebrew word translated as groves is often Asherah or Asherin, Asherim, which can denote both the Canaanite goddess Asherah and the wooden symbols or poles representing her. The groves were typically located on high places or under large trees and served as sites for idolatrous practices, which were forbidden by God. Remember in the Old Testament, if somebody did well in front of the Lord, that person destroyed the groves. Let's continue. The oak tree has been associated with the Celtic Druids and other ancient mystical traditions. The oak was revered as sacred and was often tied to spiritual practices and rituals. It was thought to have deep connection to the divine, as oaks were places of worship. They probably opened portals when they did their satanic rituals there, where sacrifices or sacred rites took place. Combining this with the concept of musk as a luxury fragrance, smell, it could evoke images of rituals or ceremonies that are connected to the sacred occult. Because everything's an inversion. ritual sacrifices were abandoned because Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifices. So people had to atone for their sins with animal sacrifices, right? And then you read in the Old Testament where God said when somebody did a sacrifice, it was a sweet smelling savor, a sweet odor to the Lord during these sacrifices, if it was done in humility and reverence, and love for the Lord, fear of the Lord. Man, it's just, is it deep? I don't think I'm doing a stretch. I don't think I'm stretching here, because we've covered this before, and this is from Newsweek. What is Cecius Maximus? Elon must change his X name. They have to tell you who they are, my friends, with the art of the reveal. Kek is an ancient Egyptian deity responding primordial darkness within the O-God cosmology. I mean, darkness, Kek. The phrase Cecius Maximus is often associated with Pepe the Frog, a character that has been used in various memes, including those tied to Kek. And then here is Kek, this frog human, where I'm convinced, especially after the pyramid and the energy source system, that the technology was amazing back in the days of Noah, before God destroyed it. And what are they doing now? They're destroying the genome. They're defiling everything. Defiling everything, my friends. So what is Elon telling us, my friends? And then the last tweet I want to cover of Elon. SpaceX launching satellite Doge 1 to the moon next year. The mission was paid by Doge. The first crypto in space, first meme in space. So Doge coin is a cryptocurrency. Again, Doge spelled backwards is E-God. And so then I was just like, what's the purpose of this? Well, the purpose of Doge 1 mission to the moon, which I don't think they can get to, funded by Dogecoin, was to demonstrate the application of cryptocurrency beyond Earth orbit. So you need to think about Skynet, this beast system that will be all-knowing, seeing everything. So Dogecoin was to demonstrate the application of cryptocurrency beyond Earth orbit, set the foundation for interplanetary commerce, and explore the moon using a satellite equipped with sensors and cameras. When the fallen angels, this alien psyop comes about, I wonder if they're going to break out Doge, you know, as this new cryptocurrency, going back to that first story we covered of the destruction of the dollar. I'm just saying, my friends. Now, we covered the last VCast Final Days Report 413, the declassified CIA files that reveal a psychic quest for the Ark of the Covenant. And this was declassified in 2000. So we're getting primed with all this biblical Old Testament knowledge. I think it's to prime us with Noahide laws. But what I forgot to say about this witchcraft, about how this astral projection and witches do that. And I talked about how pastors had to cut the silver string, is what I said. It's cut the silver cord, cut it with spiritual warfare, this remote viewing, new age garbage. I failed to mention the story that we covered, how Neuralink has filed for trademarks for telepathy and telekinesis. And then Forbes goes on to say, is mind control next? Of course it is. Is this crazy or what? It fits XAI with that purchase of X in that grand plan. All right, let's put our focus on Trump, Trojan Trump. A listener sent me this article, and you need to think big picture that we've talked about with the Insurrection Act and troops on the street, with the excuse of immigration, posse comitatus, troops on the street to fight the drug war. You need to think about Noahide laws. It is moving faster than I even thought. But from NPR, Trump administration admits Marilyn Mann sent to El Salvador prison by mistake. The administration argued that it cannot bring back Mr. Garcia because he's in Salvadorian custody, and knocked down the concerns that he's likely to be tortured or killed at CECOT. They don't care. The article goes on to say, a new court filing Wednesday, Mr. Garcia's attorney responded to the error saying orders by immigration courts are essentially meaningless if the Trump administration oversight is not rectified, because the government can deport whomever they want, wherever they want, whenever they want, and no court can do anything about it once it's done. And then the next story I have, I find a bit peculiar. Texas pastor detained by ICE while dropping daughter to school, family says. It sounds like this guy is a stand-up guy. But let's read. As the pastor's daughter recounted the moment her father, an undocumented immigrant, so he is undocumented, he should not be here, was snatched by immigration and customs enforcement agents in South Texas on March 18, 2025. Agents allegedly slammed him against a car door. Personally, this is the type of guy you should fast track to be a citizen if everything checks out. Alondra described her father as a hardworking man who has been the bedrock of her household and a pillar of their community. Aldolfo runs a home remodeling business and has served as a pastor for years, leading the Spanish-speaking church Casa Firme without pay for his ministry work. And there I'm showing a picture of him at the pulpit with a cross behind him. Now, why he's not a citizen, maybe he's tried, I'm not sure. There are always two sides to every story, right? But it's just interesting. The news will put things out there by design. So why aren't they going after the gangbangers? They went after a pastor? I just find it peculiar. I find it not passing the sniff test, the entire story, my friends. The next video I want to show is a gentleman that covers a tweet about Donald Trump and why the media isn't going after his connection, his deep connection to Epstein, but they went after these frivolous lawsuits, discussed them at length that were really grounded in nonsense. Paying off a hooker for hush money is stupid, or a porn star. I mean, it's like, how is that illegal?
Nothing is ever going to happen with this. It's not. Here's some great posts. This one is from Jonathan Mabrito. The flight logs for Epstein's private jet, a.k.a. the Lolita Express, were released by the courts months ago. They revealed Trump flew on Epstein's jet 7 times. Yet prior to the release, Trump had publicly denied ever flying on the plane. To make matters worse, two of the female victims who testified against Epstein, Maria Farmer and Annie Farmer, both corroborated that Trump and others were part of the Epstein sex ring as either facilitators or regular clients. Bill Clinton was also named by these women. Please note, these same witnesses were deemed credible enough to convict Epstein. Plaintiff Katie Johnson testified that Trump and Epstein, I'm going to use the word abused, her as a child in the 90s. Her testimony is compelling because she accurately describes Epstein's sexual preferences before they were brought out to the public. So how does the liberal media with their gigantic magnifying glass attack Trump for 8 years straight and never bring this up? How come the swell of legal charges brought against Trump since 2016 have been mostly frivolous and pathetic? I think you know why. Do you think it's a coincidence that every journalist, hit piece, and legal attack brought against Trump has been toothless, absurd, and hypocritical? Folks, it's not an accident that the constant barrage of unfair press and ridiculous legal attacks have made Trump the persecuted hero, in quotation marks, in the eyes of the people. This is how CIA psychological mind control works. MAGA is being played like a fiddle as they feast upon the absurd Q conspiracies in a massive CIA psyop. Note, I am not a liberal. Joe Biden is also a disgusting pervert. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
His business is overvaluation. Well, the bank signed off on the loan. I mean, good night. It was just trumped up garbage trials, but they're not going after this because you're watching a script. Now, finally, the last video I want to play, I actually posted this before. The narrator does an excellent job linking Trump to a movie from 1958. Remember we said the Satanists have strategies for hundreds of years? They're playing the long game. This is peculiar to me. And if you watch it to the end, if you haven't watched it to the end, all of a sudden, day two, Trump launches Stargate artificial intelligence, saying he's going to create 100,000 jobs. Well, they're talking about 50% of jobs being gone in 10 years. Come on. It's a Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse. But it's a great time to be alive, my friends. Make sure you share this, subscribe, pray for us, and make sure you have a blessed day. God bless.
So hopefully at this point you understand that the powers that never should have been do this type of garbage. They regularly engage in this sort of psychological warfare through the satanic entertainment industry that they created and have always controlled. Now let's move on to the television show from more than six decades ago, where the same group of people tell us a little too much about today's Donald J. Trump political phenomenon and the seemingly random details surrounding it. Way back in 1958, when Trump was 11 years old, a television series called Trackdown featured an episode that was all about a pompous con man named Trump. People noticed some interesting coincidences.
CBS did confirm that this was a real episode that aired on the network May 9th, 1958. It was called Trackdown. And right. It features, this is true, it features a con man, and the con man's name is Trump. And that con man tries to justify building a wall.
Not only does this character tell the residents of a small town that they're in danger and he can protect them by building a wall, but he almost gets arrested and eventually gets shot. The Trump character's first name is Walter.
Your name is Trump? Dr. Walter Trump.
And he doesn't look like today's Trump. He actually looks a lot more like Trump's father.
Huh?
Other than that, the so-called coincidences between today's Trump and this one are nothing short of ridiculous. This particular episode of Trackdown is so specifically about Trump that his name is said 22 times in the 22-minute show.
Got a name?
Trump.
Your name is Trump?
Dr. Walter Trump.
Wait a minute, Mr. Trump.
Bobby didn't know what Trump's pitch was going to be. The sheriff wouldn't stop Trump.
You hear about Trump, and Trump hasn't given him a thing to go on.
You're a liar, Trump.
How much, Mr. Trump?
It's a lot of money, Trump.
Trump had been right.
Trump's sure having his way.
Trump didn't want the credit.
You're under arrest, Trump.
I'll take it all, Trump.
You're gonna go back and tell him, Trump.
You and Trump are in it together.
Back to Trump's wagon.
Trump had set fire to the wagon. Everything Trump had said was a lie. Trump was still believed.
That's an awful lot, especially for a one-time character in only one episode of the series. In contrast, the star of the show and the series' main character's name is only mentioned a total of 13 times. About 6 minutes in, TV Trump threatens to sue the main character over something he said. A very Trumpy thing to do.
How long are you gonna let this con man walk around town?
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
President Donald Trump suing CNN.
Former President Donald Trump is filing a lawsuit.
Trump lashes out legally. This, oh yeah? Well, I'm gonna sue you strategy isn't just a pattern of late.
The former president has filed a defamation lawsuit.
Donald Trump is planning on suing the Justice Department.
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
Our main character sees through Trump's fraud, but no one wants to listen. The judge of the town says he can't do anything about Trump because he hasn't done anything against the law yet. Which is an awful lot like what's happening with today's Trump.
In order to arrest him, the sheriff has to have a charge. And Trump hasn't given him a thing to go on.
They've been looking at me for 4 years. They found nothing. 4 years. Think of it. For 4 years, from the day I came down the escalator, I've been under investigation by sleaze. And they found nothing. They found nothing.
There's even a specific charge the sheriff has in mind for TV Trump.
What if I take him?
On what charge?
Fraud.
Don't you see? He's not exactly guilty of fraud.
Where have I heard that before?
Here's how Trump's civil fraud trial could deal with...
Former President Trump committed fraud.
President Trump's civil fraud judgment.
Waiting for them was the high priest of fraud.
I am the only one.
Trump's civil fraud trial in Manhattan.
Found Donald Trump liable for fraud.
Persistent and repeated fraud.
On what charge? Fraud.
Soon after, the judge mentions a big lie.
It's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
President Trump was perpetrating a big lie.
So, the big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
His big lie.
The big lie is only becoming bigger.
He continued to use the office of the presidency and his voice to promote the big lie.
Escalating his big lie.
The big lie.
Spread that big lie.
It's Trump himself who's directing the continuation of this big lie.
What has come to be known popularly as the big lie.
Trump was telling a big lie.
Spreading the big lie.
This big lie.
Repeating the big lie.
The big lie has only gotten bigger.
He spread the big lie. He spread his big lie.
Big lie that you talked about.
The big lie.
Trump and his big lie.
President
President Trump told a lie, a big lie. He laid the groundwork for this big lie in the months before the election. He told the big lie on election night, and he repeated the big lie more than 100 times in the weeks afterwards.
Spreading his big lie.
We have to put an end to Donald Trump's big lie once and for all.
They always talk about the big lie. They're the big lie.
Big lie.
Then our TV Trump makes a pompous claim that today's Trump is also known for.
I alone was able to read in the fires of the universe.
I alone can fix it.
I am the only one.
I'm the only one that can fix it.
I'm the only one, believe me, I'm the only one that knows how to fix it.
He alone can fix the problem. You'll recall it's a claim he made repeatedly during the 2016 campaign. He made it the centerpiece of his acceptance speech at the Republican convention and a staple on the campaign trail.
You know, a lot of people said, we have no choice but to elect Trump because he's the only one that can withstand this.
I am the only one.
I'm the only president that didn't start a war.
I alone.
I'm the only president.
I'm the only thing standing between the American dream and total anarchy, madness, and chaos.
I alone.
I alone can fix it is also the title of a new book.
I alone can get that done.
He alone can fix it, Julia.
When someone says, I alone can fix it, I reject that.
I alone can fix it. I alone can fix it.
I alone can fix it.
I alone can fix it.
I am the only one.
TV show Trump then promises to build a wall to protect the townsfolk.
I can build a wall around your homes that nothing will penetrate.
And of course, if there's anything that's associated with the Donald J. Trump of today, it's building a wall.
We're going to build a wall.
I can build a wall around your homes.
We will build a great wall. And I said, we got to build a wall. And everybody said, oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. We will build a wall. We will build a wall. We will build a wall. And we're building a wall on the border of New Mexico.
We're going to build a wall, folks. We're going to build
a wall. A wall is a very good thing.
We will build the wall 100%. And we're building a wall in Colorado.
We need the wall.
And we're going to build a wall.
And we are building a wall on the southern border, which is absolutely necessary.
Don't worry. We're going to build the wall.
By now, it is a cliche. Donald Trump has to build the wall.
I can build a wall.
Oh, we're going to build a wall, all right. We're going to build the wall.
How do we save ourselves? You ask, how do you build that wall?
Please note that's not what the man asked. But TV Trump responds in a way that allows him to say the infamous Donald Trump phrase and rally chant. Build that wall.
You ask, how do you build that wall?
Build that wall. Build that wall.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall.
Build that wall.
The wall. First of all, okay. The wall.
The townsfolk asks to be saved.
How do we save ourselves?
Yeah. You're right about that. We'll save you. We're going to save you. We're going to save you. We're going to save you. No, we're going to save you. He screams, you've got to save us, President Trump, but we're going to save you. We will.
We have to save America. There's never been a time like this.
And now, after what happened and watching our country go to hell, we may have to do it again.
How do we save ourselves?
TV Trump then summons the people to the town square, where a riot ensues. Law enforcement just stands by and allows it to happen. A lot like what's said to have happened on January 6, 2021 at the U.S. Capitol.
Trump's role in inciting the riot was, quote, unmistakable.
Were Mr. Trump's words insightful to the point of violence and riot?
Many members of his own party say he is at least partially responsible for what his supporters did.
He summoned that mob, he assembled that mob, he incited that mob.
After the riot, the judge of the town says something interesting.
Trump's sure having his way.
Trump's sure having his way? Trump's way, then? What Trump would call my way? Trump's first dance with Melania as newly inaugurated president on the night of January 20th, 2017, was to the song My Way.
I did it my way.
They also made sure the song was playing for the media as Trump departed the White House for the final time aboard Air Force One. Liftoff was perfectly timed with the final line.
Yes, it was my way.
Newsweek described Trump's use of the song as musical bookends for his presidency.
Trump's sure having his way.
They then managed to insert a line about Trump being right, something very commonly claimed by Trump, his supporters, and media types today.
New York Times columnist admitting President Trump was right about TikTok.
Trump was right about everything.
Remember, Trump was right about everything. They have a hat. It says, Trump was right about everything. Everything.
Donald Trump was right. Donald Trump was right. Trump was right.
Look. Yes. See that? Trump was right about everything.
Can you prove he's wrong?
You might not like it, Mr. Gilman, but he's right.
He couldn't help but think that Trump had been right.
Both Trumps have fiery, apocalyptic predictions for the masses.
A cosmic explosion will end all.
You're going to end up with no world. The world is going to be blown to pieces. The world is going to be blown to pieces.
If we don't win this next election, I truly believe our country is doomed. I think it's doomed.
The world will come to a flaming end. Every one of you will be dead.
We're going to hell, and we're going to hell very fast.
America is dead.
The thought of death falling from above is not a pleasant one.
Our country has become a dangerous hellhole. Thank you.
And the last time we see Trump, he gets shot, just like we're supposed to believe happened to today's Trump.
I said to myself, wow, what was that? It can only be a bullet. And moved my right hand to my ear, wrote it down. My hand was covered with blood, just absolutely blood all over the place. My hand was covered with blood, just absolutely blood all over the place.
That's a lot of parallels, wouldn't you say? To recap, both Trumps will sue you at the drop of a hat, seem impervious to the law. Both are accused of fraud. Both claim to be the only one who can fix or do certain things. Both are accused of telling the big lie. Both Trumps say they'll build that wall. They're promoted as a savior to the people. They both seem to incite a riot. Both have their way in a reference to the song that starts and ends Trump's presidency. People go on about them being right. Both make apocalyptic predictions. And both Trumps pretend to get shot. The whole episode exists in many places on YouTube. Links in the description. Oh, and here's a comic book from July of 1990 where Donald Trump and Harry Helmsley team up and build a wall. Trump then gets the people all riled up against his enemies. He passes out signature hats to his people, whom he calls guardian demons, which is interesting because people serving in Trump's Space Force are also called guardians.
Henceforth, the men and women of the United States Space Force will be known as guardians.
Now, unless you can prove the clips aren't real, I think we all have to realize that something is very wrong here. This whole thing's been an enormous hoax, a huge psychological operation. It looks like a TV show because it is one. Trump isn't just another controlled politician. He's someone's Frankenstein monster, created and scripted to get his followers to accept things almost no one else could get away with. Like a Trojan horse, announcing on his very first full day as president again, that he's going to move mountains to get this AI Big Brother data collection project that he did not mention when he was running switched on and monitoring you and me as soon as possible. In partnership with Larry here, who thinks warrantless spying on American citizens is very important.
I just hear you clearly. You're saying whatever the NSA is doing is okay with me.
It's great. I wish, yeah, it's great. It's essential. By the way, President Obama thinks it's essential. It's essential. It's absolutely essential.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
Larry also wants to secretly record people while they're in the bathroom.
By the way, and the camera's always on. You don't turn it on and off. And by the way you turn it on you can't turn it off. You got to go into the bathroom. Oracle, I need 2 minutes to take a bathroom break, and we'll turn it off. Truth is, we don't really turn it off. What we do is we record it so no one can see it. But no one can get into that recording without a court order. So you get the privacy you requested. But a court order, if you get a court order, we will, you know, judge, you know, can order, I want to look at that. This so-called bathroom break.
And Sam here, who just can't believe they're going to get to build this spy grid here of all places.
I did want to say I'm thrilled we get to do this in the United States of America. The fact that we get to do this in the United States is I think, wonderful. So thank you very much.
All this other winning is just to keep us distracted while this charlatan helps the enemies of freedom do their worst.
The Stargate Project, I think, is going to be something that's very special. I think we're going to do things that people would be shocked at. This is, to me, a very big thing. It'll lead to something that could be the biggest of all. The biggest of all.
Citizens will be on.
It's essential.
You don't really.
It's essential.
Reporting and reporting everything that's going
I want to look
on.
At that.
This so-called battle.
The same group who foreshadowed then did this have gone to a lot of trouble to position Trump as the world's only hope.
I am the chosen one.
Another clip from the 1958 TV show might tell us why.
The people were ready to believe. Like sheep, they ran toward the slaughterhouse. And waiting for them was the high priest of fraud.
I am the only one.
I'm the only one.
What if all these decades of policy against the best interests of the United States was in large part done to get a certain reaction from us when they deprive us of our fake hero? If this corresponds to today, like so many of those other things do, maybe it's not the best idea to gather in large numbers in the name of Trump, even if he asks nicely.
They're going after me without any protection of my rights. If these radical, vicious, racist prosecutors do anything wrong or illegal, I hope we are going to have in this country the biggest protest we have ever had in Washington, D.C., in New York, in Atlanta and elsewhere, because our country and our elections are corrupt.
Even when he demands it on social media.
Trump claimed he will be arrested on Tuesday of next week and urged his supporters to protest. He then urged in a follow-up, we must save America. Protest, protest, protest.
And they know exactly how long it's going to take us to lose it.
And they could, the judge could decide to say, hey, house arrest or even jail.
That could happen. I don't know that the public would stand it, you know. I'm not sure the public would stand for it. I think it would be tough for the public to take. You know, at a certain point, there's a breaking point.
Nice to know they're thinking about our breaking point, isn't it? There's an interesting paragraph along these lines in the 1940s book entitled The New World Order. The author is talking about the various types of people who are not going to appreciate having their lives destroyed by their plans. He predicts that countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting against it. Got that? Countless people will die protesting their New World Order. Between Frank and Trump's call for protests, books associating protesting with death, the word slaughterhouse in a sentence about gathering for Trump, and in light of the fact that so many predictions from this show have come true, let's not help them fulfill this one.
Like sheep, they ran toward the slaughterhouse.
Protesting has never actually accomplished anything that they didn't already want, and would be really foolish to do when this charlatan tells us to. Let's figure out what they've been using this actor to distract us from. The real way we can take back our country. And whatever that is, we need to do that thing immediately.
Over the years, I've surprised a lot of people. The biggest surprise is yet to come.
The biggest surprise is yet to come.
I'm dark, gothic MAGA.
Yeah. It's really wild. So, like, I mean, it was inevitable that at least a few Soros operatives would be in the audience. Give my regards to George. Say hi to George for me. USA, 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 USA,
USA.
Yep.
USA.
I mean, it was inevitable.
Thank you.